Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Okay, before we turn to God's word, let us pray. Dear Father, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your holy word, such a blessing in our lives that allows us to know you better. We pray, Father, as the word is preached today, that it will challenge us and it will convict us. It will convict us to make adjustments in our life and to live according to your word in all things. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be here today, that it will talk to each and every person that listens, and we pray for our hearts to be softened and be open to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. How long will you allow fear and anguish to dwell in your life? Why do we wake up every morning to a new day only to be reminded of something that is pressing on us as we get out of bed? A burden that shadows us wherever we go and just seems to follow us. What is troubling you today? How long will you let it have control over you? And what do you do? Do you face it? Or do you run in another direction? And how bad do you let things become before you ask for help? Like many other psalms, we share the anxiety of David, who is going through the anguish and the fear of his enemies. But this one is different. The enemy is not an advancing army, but as the enemy is much closer. It's a friend who violates a covenant. David, in his restlessness, his anguish, his fear and trembling and horror that he's experiencing, would like nothing more to flee and find peace in the wilderness. But his only option is to turn to God and plead for mercy. One day I was in a meeting with my boss, and we were talking about experiences from school. And we realized that some of the bad experiences were things that still had an impact on us decades later. Often during playground antics and games in school, especially primary school, boys, when they're involved, things can get out of control. And often these little kind of spats usually fizzle out, or they evolve into something more, usually verbally or physical sparring. I can't recall how I got involved in this little spat, but I knew that there was no getting out of it, and it was just somewhere that I didn't want to be. And I was looking for an escape out of the situation because it was something that... some boys like to fight, some don't. I wasn't the person that liked to fight. but before I knew it, in typical playground behavior, the chanting started. So everyone started clapping, fight, fight, fight. And at that point, I knew that my destiny was set and had to face my other opponent in the arena, otherwise known as the grass patch outside of the local village hall. As soon as the bell sounded, everyone would gather in the playground, and they would choose sides. The whole school would then go through the village down towards the arena, and a big circle would form, and the two fighters would be in the center, and all you could hear was the chanting, the screaming, and the clapping. And all you felt was fear and trembling. I remember that day, when I think back now, I must have went through all the same emotions as David that day. And I imagine many of you, at some point in your life, I probably felt some of those emotions as well. But I ask the question, what do we do in such circumstances? So today we're going to find the answer, and it's in Psalm 55. to the choir master with stringed instruments, a Maskil of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, they drop trouble upon me. And in anger, they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find shelter from the raging wind and the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. Where it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated a covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out their days, but I will trust in you. If you'd like an outline today, you should see it up on the screen. It's flight, fury, faith. There's some events in life that just bring us to our knees, both emotionally and physically. And David is so distraught, he wishes to be somewhere else. And we read that in verses 6 through 8. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. And I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Like Jonah, whose name translates as dove. The Lord said to him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me. You remember that Jonah did rise, but he didn't go where he should have went. He went another direction, caught a boat, went out to sea. There was a storm. Those on the boat threw him off the boat. He was swallowed by a whale for 3 days. Then the whale finally spat him out on dry land, and they ended up where he started. And the Lord said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, their evil has come up before me. And it's easy to run, isn't it? It's easy to run and leave everything behind. But we'll never be at rest until we put something that is bothering us to rest. And many of you may still be holding on to something from the past, something that is still troubling you today, such as the lack of opportunity you felt when you grew up in poverty, or you've been put into poverty as you've grown, or the feeling of inadequacy because you're unemployed and you cannot supply for your family, or regret for the poor decisions you've made and the poor actions you've done in your life. Or perhaps you feel shame because you've made someone else's life a misery and they're now suffering the pain of your actions. Or perhaps you feel a lack of control because you have illness in your family, or perhaps you're the one that's ill and you don't know what to do. Or grief because you've lost someone dear to you. Or perhaps you carry resentment and you're unable to forgive for some abuse that you had to undergo, such as mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse or neglect in your life. And some of these situations are just unavoidable, and we're forced to deal with them at the time. But others cause us so much anguish, we just can't deal with them. And such experiences often drive us to other avenues and other roads that we go down that cause us way much more pain. I used to know someone who lost both parents, one his mother from cancer and his father from a car accident, which I heard he witnessed. And many years after that, there was alcohol abuse, substance abuse, and he was in and out of prison for years. I'm not sure if that event caused that lifestyle that he followed or if it was just a sinful heart. But what do we do when life is so grim? Do we desire to fly away like a dove into the wilderness to find shelter from the raging wind and the tempest? We might find peace for a while, but the problem with the wilderness is we're stuck with our thoughts and our memories. Or do we lash out in fury and start finding someone to blame or something to blame? In a typical war, enemies are strangers to us, aren't they? All we know is that our enemies want to harm us. And if something happens to them, we don't actually care because we don't know them. But what if that enemy is someone that you have known for years, perhaps even your whole life? You have eaten together, you have shared intimate details together, you have trusted each other and also worshipped together, a companion, a friend. This is a betrayal, and David is furious. He doesn't just want them dead, he wants them to go down to the pit of hell alive, and he wants them to suffer. Verse 15 tells us, "Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart." And some of you today might feel that you have felt like that at some point in your life. A work colleague, a friend, a child, a parent, or your relationship with that person is broken down so much, you have to endure verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and physical abuse. Or maybe that it's you that is doing the betrayal. Maybe someone you know is living a life of misery because of you, and you don't know it. But it's not just physical harm, is it, that causes pain from an enemy. Emotional harm also causes lots of pain. You may have heard the saying, "Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never harm me." Or some people have thicker skins than others. And I think if most people don't admit that verbal abuse from a loved one hurts them, then they're probably a little bit heartless. As a high school computer science teacher, that's what I do during the week, I always tell my students that once they upload something to the internet, whether a picture or some words of something, it'll be there forever. Yeah, even if they try to delete that thing, it will always be there, backed up onto another system. Yeah, it'll always be there, never to be deleted. And in the heat of the argument, you know you shouldn't say that thing that is on the tip of your tongue. But pride takes over. It takes all your strength to hold back. But before you know it, the words that you tried not to say are out. And the damage is done. We used to have weekly assemblies in primary school. This is only one I can remember for some reason. And the local minister came one day to give us a lesson on a message from the Bible. And the message was on the human tongue. What an amazing thing the human tongue is. What amazing things have been achieved by the human tongue. But how much damage has been created by the human tongue. And James talks about this in chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. He says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord our Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing." What is said is said. As soon as it comes out, it is recorded. The words that came out in the heat of an argument can never be taken back. The endless apologies and the grovelling might put a band-aid over the situation for a while. But later on down the line, chances are that thing that you said will boil up to the surface and cause even more problems. Sticks and stones may break our bones, and names will hurt us, especially when said by someone dear to us. There's violence and strife in the city. Day and night, David's enemies go around the city walls. Iniquity and trouble within the city. Ruin is in the midst of the city. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. David is restless. His heart is in anguish. Fear and trembling are upon him, and horror overwhelms him. He has been betrayed by a close friend. And what does he do with this betrayal? And where does he turn? Verses 17 to 19 give us the answer. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from old, because they do not charge and do not fear God. David prays morning, noon, and evening. How does he pray? He utters and complains and moans. Sincere, meaningful prayer. He is in such a state that he doesn't just go through the motions of prayer. He complains and moans. He is distraught. If you reflect on your own prayer life, what do you see? Are you too busy to pray? Do you make excuses not to pray? Do you feel that life is just going too well for you to pray? Did David need to pray? He was a king over a mighty nation, anointed by God. But David was no different than the rest of us. He had doubts, he had insecurities, he had fears. He feared for his life like any normal person would. He made mistakes. He committed adultery. He took an innocent life to cover up his sin. He was so messed up, he knew the only way to get through all of this turmoil was through sincere prayer. Why? Because he knew God would hear his voice and redeem his soul. He was a frail human being like the rest of us, and he needed God just like the rest of us. But it's often the case that most of our sincere prayers come out of our mouths when we're in dire need of help. Why is that? Juliana and I, my wife, we hired a car about a year back to go from Valle du Par to Santa Marta. Google Maps said it would take 4 hours, like all the buses take 4 hours. How hard could it be? We would go west for 2 hours, then we would go north a couple more hours, and we should arrive at Santa Marta. We finally got to just outside Santa Marta, and it was dark. There was lots of road works and detours, and we finally got onto the correct road, or so we thought. An hour later, we found ourselves on a dark, straight road, just heading in a straight line all the way to Barranquilla. Why didn't we stop earlier and ask for directions? Because just like our prayer lives, we often ask for directions when it's too late. Our pride and stubbornness, we would rather go it alone and rely on ourselves, taking all sorts of roads in the hope that we might find the correct road. John Knox, a Scottish reformer, was well aware of his weaknesses. Knox knew he was nothing unless God was with him. And knowing that, his only option was to humble himself in prayer, submitting his entire being to God. He didn't wait until things got really bad. He spent his life in sincere prayer. Charles Spurgeon once said about Knox, "When John Knox went upstairs to plead with God for Scotland, it was the greatest event in Scottish history. And so much that Mary, Queen of Scots, is reputed to have said, 'I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe.'" Perseverance. Perseverance in what? Perseverance in prayer. Prayer changes us. When we're downhearted, worried, anxious, turning to God in prayer brings us into the presence of God. We are now communicating with the Creator of the universe, one to one. We are speaking, and he is listening. Like a child that has awakened from a bad dream in a dark room, who perseveres in its cry for help, knowing that its mother or father will come and offer that help. That is what we need to do. To persevere in prayer and faith, knowing that our Lord will be listening. David prayed morning, noon, and night, and each time God heard his voice, as it says in Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. There's a turning point in the psalm. It seems the enemy is winning, but David, in his anguish, with no other options, turns to the Lord in prayer. And the moment he turns to the Lord in prayer, the enemy is lost. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? As God's people, we will go through struggles, we will go through trials, and we will experience persecution. But the forces that come up against us shall not overcome us, because who can be against us if God is for us? Darkness cannot overcome light. God will deal with his enemies, the enemies of his people, and he will judge them when he feels the time is right. But it's not for us to judge. We cannot judge justly, so we have to let God be the judge with everything that happens in our lives. And we've all been wronged, haven't we? Everyone has been wronged, or you could have wronged someone else. Maybe you think the only way to bring closure to that thing that is troubling you today is for the person that caused you harm to be punished. But we know that's not the answer. Two wrongs do not make a right, and sin cannot overcome sin. So how do we deal with the anxiety, the fear, the pain, and the disappointment that we experience in life? The answer is not to try and deal with it with ourselves. By trying to take care of our own problems, we lack faith in the one who created us. How often do we spend our days, weeks, even years just thinking about a problem over and over again and never finding a suitable solution for that problem? But the solution is simple. We were all children once, and we're all incapable of leading our own lives with the help of our parents, without the help of our parents. What did we do when we realized we couldn't do something for ourselves? We looked up to one of our parents and we asked for help. And we knew that one of our parents would come and take the burden and sort that thing out for us. And understand, this isn't the case for all families, and it only shows the condition of the fallen world that we live in. But when our earthly parents fail us, we know that we have a Heavenly Father who will not let us down and will help us and sustain us. Verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. The promise is that God will not carry us, he will not do everything for us, but he will sustain us. If a parent does everything for their child, that child will never grow. Our life doesn't get easier when we become Christians. The life of the apostles didn't get easier when they became Christians. It got harder, much harder. Casting your burden on the Lord is also not a form of escapism. You can't just put all our troubles in a bag and hand them to God and say, can you sort this out for me? The promise is that he will sustain us through our troubles. The troubles will come, but how wonderful it is to know that when they do come, our Lord is next to us, taking us through the storm. Our Lord will never abandon us. He will never let go of our hand when the raging winds and tempests are upon us. Just like the disciples when they saw Jesus walking on water, Peter, desperate to go to Jesus, steps out of the boat and starts walking on water. But then when the wind came, he lost his faith and started to sink. And in his distress, he cried out, Lord, save me. Sinking down into the water, being battered by the wind and the waves, struggling to keep his head above water, he reaches out his hand. And as soon as he does that, the hand of Jesus reaches down and takes his hand. And at that moment, the wind stops, the waves stop, and there's calm. But when we find ourselves sinking in our lives, the things that are overwhelming us, do we cry out, Lord, save me? Or do we replace the word Lord with something else, like work, money, family, science? Those things will never save us. Only the Lord can save us. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? How often during times of trouble we continue to look down and lack faith. How often in the dead of night, night after night, will we toss and turn, trying to find a solution to our problem? How long will we allow ourselves to be burdened by our troubles? The troubles will come. Some will be so bad, we'll wonder if we have the strength to bear them. But God will sustain his people, and he will never let them fall. Verse 23, but I will trust in you. Do you trust in the Lord, honestly? How long will you try to fix yourself? Do you have enough faith to cast your burden on the Lord? That's what it all boils down to. Do you trust in God enough to let go of everything you have and give everything to him? Or are you desperate to hold on to your troubles, like a millstone around your neck, just weighing you down every day? The restlessness, the anguish, the fear and trembling, the horror doesn't need to continue. The raging wind and the tempest doesn't need to continue. Cast your burden on the Lord. What's the alternative? Health, wealth, material possessions are all but temporary. They cost a fortune and give us nothing worth putting our trust in. But the thing that we can most trust in this life doesn't cost any money. Is absolutely free. It brings peace, contentment, and security. And most importantly, it brings the one thing that the whole world desires. One thing that everyone in this world will pay money for, but not willing to give their whole being for. And that's eternal life. Over the past year, many of us will have spent some time contemplating our own mortality. Daily, we hear of people falling ill and going into ICU. Some don't make it and die alone. Many leave behind husbands, wives, and even young children. None of us know what circumstances we have to endure in life or how long we have on this earth. But right now, the hand of Jesus is reaching out for those who haven't taken it yet. But that hand won't always be there. The moment we die, the hand will not be available anymore. So what do we do with the time we have left when fear enters our life and things are so out of control that we wonder if we're able to handle them? What do we do? We naturally want to run to somewhere that offers us peace and security, don't we? But do we ever find it? No, we never find it. Nothing in this world can offer us the peace and security we long for. All the world has to offer is more disappointment and more pain. The world reaches out its hand and promises many things and gives us nothing. But there is a hand that promises everything, and it does deliver. The same hand that Peter took when he was sinking and cried out, Lord, save me. It's the hand of Jesus. There's only one place to run when everything is falling apart, and that's to the foot of the cross. And when you get there, you look up. And you see the hand of Jesus reaching down for you, and you take it. Jesus Christ, who gave us everything, even his own life, so that we might live. So I urge you this day, take the hand of Jesus while you still can. Cast your burden on him, and experience the love of God in your life, a deep love that surpasses all things. Let's pray. Dear Father, we give thanks for this time together. Many of us, Father, will be experiencing troubles in our life right now, or have done in the past, troubles that we cannot overcome, and we don't have the strength to overcome them. So we turn to you, Father, for your strength, and we cast our burden on you, knowing, Father, that you won't carry us, but you will sustain us through these troubles, and that you give us peace and security. Give thanks for your son Jesus, who died for us on the cross, knowing that this life doesn't lead to death, but leads to eternal life. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.